Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Tell your smart speaker to play 93.7 WEEI. Gresh and Fourier on WEEI.
There it is. I wonder if Tom E. Curran likes his intro music. I'm going to ask him. Hey, Tom. It's you're on with me and Andy Hart because the big fella's got a tummy ache.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. You should send him your thoughts and prayers. Can you tweet to him thoughts and prayers? Hopefully he gets back.
I'll consider it.
Do you like your open music? Would you like us to change it? Would you like a country song by any chance?
We used to have No Handlebars by the Flobots for me back in the day. Ooh. When Mutt and Merlone were there. I really like that.
Mutt and Merlone? How are you going back to like 2007? 2008?
I might be.
Wow, that was when you were with the Providence Journal.
I was at NBC, actually. But yeah.
Jerry Trupiano. Way back.
So we haven't talked to you, Tom E. Curran, since last week. And I guess just asking everybody, I don't know if you do the grade thing with the draft. I don't know if you guys partake in that, but your overall opinion of all the picks.
I'd give it a B+, because while I do continue to think a trade down was the way to go, they stuck to what their plan was. They took a home run swing at the top of the draft with Drake May, who may or may not develop the way they hope. But after that, they spent time trying to support him with wide receivers who might not be as boom or bust as the quarterback is, but they should definitely be singles and perhaps doubles. And that's what they need. They can't afford to be taking wide receivers who are non-contributors or any pass catchers. You know, you look at since 2019, the pass catchers the Patriots have selected, whether it be N'Keal Harry or Tyquan Thornton or Dalton Keene or Devin Asiasi, they've gotten nothing out of those picks. And those are all third-round picks or sooner. So draft a quarterback, then bring in players who can support him. When you hear the Jalen Polk, Jacoby Myers comps, well, Jacoby Myers would have helped last year. And maybe you didn't have to take a quarterback this year had that quarterback been better. But I think you're going to upgrade a quarterback overall with Drake May, even though I still think a trade down. Like, listen to this. Say you traded down with Minnesota. You get the 11th overall pick, the 23rd, and a 2025 first-round pick. You can take J.J. McCarthy. You can take Xavier Leggett. And maybe you can take next year's first-round pick and jump back up and take a tackle like Tyler Guyton. And then you still have 34. So to me, in hindsight, I still think a trade down was the way to go because I think J.J. McCarthy is right now a better quarterback, and I do think that down the road it's going to be tough to comp because these two guys are in different situations. I think J.J. McCarthy is going to be a productive quarterback of the NFL, and May is more of a wild card.
So, Tom, before the draft, one of the big conversations was the roster being ready for a quarterback, blah, blah, blah. Well, now the draft has come and gone. The roster is virtually set. There can be minor changes moving forward. What do you think the plan is for the supposed not ready to play right away Drake May? You think the plan is to midway through the season, he can win the job in week one? What do you think the sort of loose framework is we're working with here?
I think the default is he's going to sit. I really believe that, you know, just indicated by the fact that Jerod Mayo first stated, you know, best player will play and then circled back on draft night to kind of put that toothpaste back in the tube and say that Jacoby's a starter. I think that was an indication of that's where the mindset is of the team. What's interesting to me is this comparable to 2021? Because Mac Jones played so well at that training camp, he was undeniable. Mm-hmm. And Cam Newton didn't have a bad camp. That was the interesting thing. But Mac Jones' camp was so good, and he was out there every day, and he was so proficient and so much better than Cam Newton in terms of accuracy, speed, getting rid of the ball, ability to rebound after bad practices, his sessions against the Giants where he totally outplayed Daniel Jones, who a year later got a huge contract. I think all of those things made it impossible to ignore Mac Jones. Now, I don't think Jacoby Brissett is going to be as easy to beat out as Cam Newton because he's a better thrower. And I think that might keep Drake May, you know, on the sidelines. But what happens if he is that much better than Jacoby? Do you put him out there behind that offensive line that you have question marks? If all five starters are out there and Okorafor can play on the left side, okay. But he has to prove that. I would not want that kid back there with a footwork renovation ongoing and then seeing a blitzkrieg every week, because that's what really sent last year south for Mac Jones is he had no protection. If you have a stationary quarterback with a below average arm and no protection, he's going to start worrying about the rush, which is what he did.
So we're talking to Tommy Koenig, and Tom, I was last week when we were out in Detroit, I ran into a couple of friends of mine and then talked to a couple guys who were, you know, scouts for some teams, and the general consensus, and I'm curious to know your opinion on this, you know, just discussing all the different options at quarterback. One of my friends said it's irrelevant who they pick. He says, quote, "I actually worry about whoever goes to the Pats based on Alex Van Pelt, TJ McCartney's ability to develop a young quarterback." Do you agree with that? Are you worried about that also?
Yeah, I think it has to be monitored all the way through camp. Absolutely. Because everything's unproven. I mean, I think what Alex Van Pelt and the Cleveland Browns did last year with five different quarterbacks and still being a team that was as capable as it was, even though it was propelled by defense, it does speak to an offensive coordinator who is pretty good at his job in developing and tweaking things. But you had a head coach in Stefanski who's an offensive-minded head coach. So I'm sure there were multiple hands there. The McAdoo, Van Pelt, McCartney, Troika should be able to, you know, develop the quarterback. There's three guys there, and as Mayo pointed out, there's 17 coaches, new coaches this year. So there's a lot more manpower there. But until it's proven, it's unproven. And you've just picked the biggest, most promising mold of clay in the draft, but now you have to mold it. So how well do they do? You should. Absolutely. It does incur scrutiny. It deserves it.
So they draft two receivers. They signed a receiver in KJ Osborne, who apparently is impressing early in the process here. What's your view of what the wide receiver depth chart could look like and who the odd men out could be?
It's interesting because right now we're looking at the highlights of Polk and Baker and saying, wow, look at this. Look at that catch. Wow, look at that. Wow, look at after that catch. And we could do the same thing with Kayshon Boutte last year. And he ended up in mothballs all season. But he had a good camp. He was out there every day. He made acrobatic and great body control catches. He was dependable. And he had great highlights. And that felt like a steal. Now, we don't even know if he's going to be back on the team because of his off-field issues. You know, Tyquan Thornton, again, he is not completely irretrievably horrendous. We saw it, Andy.
So you got that going for you.
I was going to say, he is not completely, totally crappy, unsavable.
Well, I think people would believe that Tyquan Thornton's doomed. And Andy, you and I both watched him in 2022 in training camp. He wasn't a one-speed Bethel Johnson guy. He could change gears.
Yep.
He could set things up. He's just too brittle.
Yep.
So can he be, and he has added bulk, it seems, from, you know, shirtless pictures sent out, that he might be able to. So I wouldn't bail on him. I think Juju's on borrowed time. But I don't know what the wide receiver room will look like until we kind of see what their initial, you know, designs are on how they'll use Polk and Baker out of the chutes. I mean, they're young guys. So everyone looks good right now. But, again, to go back to the tight ends, I remember Phil and I looking at Keenan Asiasi and presuming that they would be, you know, I said, okay, 44 catches for Keen, 41 for Asiasi. I don't know if either of them had four in their careers.
Nope. Yeah, combined. that was a, and both those guys were fourth-round picks, weren't they?
I believe so.
Third.
Third? Maybe holy third. Cow.
Swing and a miss.
Here's so eight picks, seven of the eight are offense. But finally, good news on the defensive front. Barmore re-signs, like one of the biggest contracts in a long period of time for the Patriots. Just your, what does that mean for him? Like as far as like, you know, his importance to the defense.
I think he and Gonzalez are the cornerstones of the defense, and they should be good for a long time. So to me, you've now got Gonzalez still under control for ostensibly four more years because you have this fifth-year option you can pick up, and you have one of the, I would say, a top 10 defensive tackle in the NFL in Barmore. You're going to have to look at edge a little bit with Judon getting older. I think Anthony Jennings, you know, Keon White, these guys are all outstanding. I thought Jennings was remarkable last year in his improvement. Uche continues to be a situational guy, but I look at edge as someplace they still have to address, you know, for the future. But to me, you have a cornerstone defensive tackle and a cornerstone corner. So I think that's really good for the defense in a period of time where they didn't do really anything on defense in free agency, really, and definitely in the draft.
Now that the draft is over, undrafted, where do you sort of, you mentioned a little bit of it earlier, I don't know if you can find a tackle at this point, but are there holes? Because Robert Kraft at the owners' meetings talked about post-draft opportunities to add to the roster and improve the talent. Where should they be targeting, and do you think it's realistic to really get anything at this point that could affect the roster?
Yeah, I think edge. I would continue to look at that, and I would continue to look at corner. I believe Stephon Gilmore is still available, right?
I believe so, yes. I like that idea. You were first on that. I like that idea.
I think Stephon Gilmore would make sense. Does he want to come to a rebuilding team at this juncture?
How
much?
You take the veteran lap is what it's called.
The what? The veteran what?
You're taking the lap once more around the track. Yeah. Okay. It's like, you know, he's won a championship. He's been paid a lot of money. And now it's all about how many more years can I add so I get that severance pay? Ooh, that's good.
It's
that
the Kyle Law portion of the program.
Yeah, and what a better place for him than here. I mean, geez, they probably would love him to be here.
Yeah, so to me, that would be a smart place to look at. You know, shore up with Stephon Gilmore on the other side. And, you know, he had some very good games. You know, I think that there are games there, too, where he was with Dallas last year where he got lit up. But he also had some very good games with Dallas down the stretch, too. So I would look at that as a position where you can say, okay, there's still places you can add.
Have you heard anything about this, last week on the Pat McAfee show, Roger Goodell talking about, like, you know, the 3-day weekend for the Super Bowl. Obviously Goodell speaks for the owners. Have you heard anything about what the Crafts want to do with this? Is this something that they're pushing for?
Yeah, that's longstanding that they have wanted to get it so that it coincides with President's Day, I believe.
Yeah.
Push it back.
That's love
what
it.
Conversation was of adding two more. You know, we're not going to 17, going to 18. That was a part of that conversation, I think, when they were expanding the schedule. So that is their desire to eventually get, I think, to President's Day so that we're going into late February with the NFL season. So mid-July to late February. Dominate, dominate, dominate.
So I'm wondering if the coaches feel like their job is becoming harder based on the fact that they're not going to have preseason games, or maybe they just kind of, you know, work on the whole, you know, inter squad meetings or practices with, you know, joint practices with other teams. Maybe that's just how they get their work more controlled.
Yeah. I mean, and it changes the product. We've talked about it ad infinitum, I think, with offensive line people who talk about the lack of development because offensive linemen don't hit as much in the preseason, and they just don't have the same timing, and their entire season has been delayed in terms of how when they get to game readiness. And you can speak to this too, as somebody who was in double sessions for a good portion of your career, how much that impacts how much you can teach, whether or not, you know, guys are out able to actually put hands on each other and drive each other around. It doesn't really happen until what now? The second week of training camp, Andy?
Yep.
Because you still have that ramp-up time at the beginning of camp. So they're not hitting. And really, when you look at the league itself, it's turning – the interesting thing is their desire was to protect a little bit more and spend less time banging heads together. But now we have defensive ends who are 6'5", 280, and run 4.4s coming off the edge on offensive linemen who aren't ready to go and demolishing quarterbacks. And the game has just evolved. It's like, what do they call that? An unintended consequence?
Yeah. Hey, listen, I know we got to let you go real quick. Sorry, Andy, but because we do got to talk. I am a hockey insider, so I have some hockey breaking news.
Oh.
I got to get to after trending. I don't want to give it away yet. Real quickly, though, do you know who Mike Giddings is? You ever heard that name, Tom?
I have not. Should I Google it?
No. It's it's something that we're going to do at around 1:25. I just realized that there's this father and son duo that have created like a chart, and it's proprietary to them that NFL teams use to indicate whether a guy is going to help them right away, can win on their own, or needs help around them. They use two different colors. They use blue and red. And blue would be a Brady, Manning, Mahomes. A red would be like a Kirk Cousins or a Jimmy G. We're going to break that down at around 1:25. I'm wondering if you actually ever heard of anything like this, because I don't think the general public knows about it.
No, I haven't. And it'd be interesting to hear what the results are, because I think that, is it just relative to quarterbacks? Or is it
relative to every position, every single position. But so before you even come out of the draft or while you're playing, even as a free agent, this father and son duo create their own chart. And they list, each position, and they determine which one has the highest success rate for helping their team, which is the most difficult positions to translate into pro football, and which is one is the easiest. I thought it was interesting. So, if you tune in at 1:25, we'll break it down for you.
Well, of course I will.
There you go. You're a P1. You're a P1. Hopefully I won't fumble it. All right, Tom, thanks, man. I appreciate it. Hey, who starts the net for the Bruins tonight?
Pardon me?
Who starts the net for the Bruins tonight?
Who was first off the ice?
I don't know. I just know who started.
I don't know, but it's got to be Swayman either way. Okay. Who gives a rat's kazookas?
Okay. I will tell you. I will tell you when we get back. Okay, so you got to listen for another 2 hours.
Wow.
All right, Tom. There's Tom E. Kern.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben and Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Now, more Gresh and Fauria on WEEI and streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
All right, we got tickets to give away in about 7 minutes. And at 12:45, I promise you right now, Andy, I have the wildest Major League Baseball story you have ever heard. You've ever heard. The wildest story in all my years playing sports, professional sports, covering professional sports. This is the wildest story I've ever heard in my life. You'll hear that at 12:45. All right, but let's start with let's do some hockey talk. Let's talk about who is going to start in net. Now, I've done the Lord's work, and I've since I am a hockey insider.
Okay,
and you know, I've checked with my sources. I've done all the research. I've double checked it, and your starter tonight, to close out this series against the hated Toronto Maple Leafs, will be Jeremy Swayman.
As it should be.
As it should be.
Isn't he your number one goalie now?
Like, he is your number one goalie. He should be the starter. And this is I chuckle about this, but so yesterday, Scott McLaughlin, he was on yesterday, obviously. We remember talking to him.
Yeah.
He was down. He told us that he went to practice and he talked to Swayman. I want you to listen to what he said.
Hey, Mark.
It was Ullmark. He talked to Ullmark because Ullmark, I think, understands that he is being stepped over. He is being left behind. He understands that Swayman has pole position, that Swayman is just like he's the lead horse right now, and Ullmark is like a victim of circumstance. Here's what he had to say yesterday after practice.
How has this been for you watching Jeremy now get multiple starts in a row?
It's been a lot of fun. You know, we're up 3-1 in the series. You know, it's always going to be harder and harder for every game that goes by. Stay true to ourselves and still enjoying the moment.
Is it something for you? You kind of known that both of you guys are playing well. That something like this could be the way that it went. You try to keep the right perspective on it.
Yeah, definitely. You know, there's a reason why I'm here today, and it's not being a sulky little crybaby about not playing or anything like that. You know, I try to stay professional, supporting the guys throughout the team or throughout the period here. I'll go out there every practice, trying to be better, try to push people in the way that I can, obviously, and try to bring that energy and try to do whatever I can when I'm off the side as much as I try to do when I'm in the net.
Okay, so the very first line.
Yeah.
Hey, how's it been? Oh, it's been a lot of fun.
You don't believe him?
Oh, God, please. If he's going to be honest, he's obviously exaggerating. He's obviously, oh, yeah, sure, it's been a lot of fun. Oh, yeah, watching the other guy take all my reps. Hey, I know Jim Montgomery said I was going to play, said we were going to rotate. Oh, it's been great sitting on the bench. I know he's doing his best to hold in his anger. But there's no chance in hell that this guy is not holding a grudge against both the head coach and Swayman. I don't think it's possible not to be felt like you were lied to. Hey, we're rotating. Now, if we're rotating, it doesn't matter if he plays bad or if I play good. You said we were rotating. We were talking to Scott, talking to Razor, you know, about like, hey, listen, Swayman's had it easier. Ullmark had it harder in game two. But now you're just going to stick with a, quote, hot hand and just act like we never had these discussions? Or did he pull the what my coaches used to tell me after they told me what was going to happen, after we went over everything and everybody established roles, before we left the room, they would say, now you do know everything is subject to change.
Right. Conditions on the ground change.
Everything is subject to change, which I thought was like, well, then just don't say anything then.
So I fixated on a different phrase to start the second answer, I believe.
Okay.
Obviously, there's a reason I'm here. What's your reaction to that phrase? Because I have a simple one in my mind.
Well, you go then, because I don't got it.
I blocked a trade when they tried to trade me. obviously there's a reason I'm here.
On that one.
The
yeah.
only reason I'm here yeah, is because yeah, I said yeah. I want to be here.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
on some level,
yeah.
the bed he's lying in right now, who made
True.
It? He did.
Yeah.
He did. He wanted to be here.
You know, there's a reason why I'm here today.
Yeah.
You blocked a trade. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here and there wouldn't be a goalie conversation because the number one goalie would be Swayman.
I didn't even think about that because really you could have put yourself in a better position where they weren't, you know, flipping a coin before every game or like, somebody didn't have a better set of circumstances. So they're able to be the bright and shiny star that everybody's relying on. And now you're the backup.
Aren't you a believer? Most people are in actions, not words, correct?
Sure.
Like, a week ago last Thursday, Elliot Wolf's pre-draft press conference, he said, because we did some things in free agency, we don't have to draft out of need. We have NFL receivers. We have NFL. And then he went out and drafted a quarterback, a wide receiver, a lineman.
Seven of the eight.
All needs.
Yeah.
He went pure need draft. So his actions told you what he thought of his roster, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. The Bruins' actions told you who they wanted the number one goalie to be, didn't they, Linus? They tried to trade you. That means they wanted Swayman inherently to be the number one goalie. Now, the second half of the season, you played well. He didn't play as well. But the second that he plays up to the level they want him to play, he's the number one goalie because they told you that already.
And they lose game two. And by the nature of the rotation, Swayman is up next.
Yeah.
And he plays great and they win. So they go, okay, I guess I got to. He played great. Do I really want to go back to Omark? And this is why I chuckle, because this was never going to work. These situations do not work. You know who else thinks that it doesn't work? And actually, let's do this first before we play this sound, because we do have to give away some tickets.
It's a twofer Tuesday. Twofer, twofer, twofer Tuesday.
Let's roll.
Let's roll, twofer Tuesday. All right, everybody, be caller nine. Be caller nine right now, and we count every single caller, so not number eight. Too bad, number 10, not number 7, not number 6. You got to be caller 9.
Andy Hart's high school baseball number.
Is that number 9?
Yeah. That was 9.
Oh, okay.
Like Ted Williams. Oh. Same swing.
Like, sure. Be caller 9 on the contest hotline at 617-931-0937, and you'll score a pair of tickets to see the Red Sox take on the Giants this Thursday day game. So it's a great opportunity to go to the game, get home at a reasonable time. You don't have to get home real late. All right. That's why I love the day games. Plus, we get off a little bit early, and we will be at Fenway Park. So come by and say hello to us. Okay, so obviously Swayman gets a start, has a couple good wins. Now you really can't pull him. Let's listen to P.K. Subban, right? Knows a thing or two about hockey. He was on the Pat McAfee show, and here's what he said about Swayman and this goaltender rotation.
But Swayman, yes, I have not given him enough credit as a goaltender. I wasn't sold on the tandem. I like the number one goaltender. I like the guy that rides. Listen, I played with Carey Price, Pecorine. I played with guys that own that net. So to see two goaltenders doing it back and forth, I didn't have confidence in it. Well, Boston's changed my mind. Swayman, Jim Montgomery, who I bumped into also at the Ritz in the lobby. Ooh. I spoke to him. There, listen to me. I was able to touch with him, Patrick Maroon. I bumped into a bunch of the Boston guys. But Swayman's playing out of his mind right now. If he continues to do that, the Boston Bruins, I mean, sky's the limit for that team, because we know they can play defense. Their power play's clicking like crazy. They made Toronto's power play look like a junior B power play this series so far. So Boston's got all the intangibles, and they can get that consistent goaltending. And by the way, Swayman falters. It's Allmark going back in there.
Boom.
So Boston's looking great right now.
Boom.
Boom.
Good Set point. It. Boom. You were really good with that interview and that question. The thing that stands out to me with that Subban comment is, like, the players. I think about the players. I like the guy that owns that net. I like the guy that is that's his domain. Mm-hmm. This isn't a tenant in common. You're not a joint. This isn't a joint venture. It never, ever works. The whole saying, like, if you have two quarterbacks, you have none.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. So I think that the players undoubtedly have attached themselves to Swayman more than Omark. Even though they love him and they think he's good. And I just imagine myself, like, even when they're, like, you know, out on the road and, you know, they're eating dinner and maybe there's this awkward, you know, encounter where you don't know what to say to him. Because I really feel like he's just unlucky. If the roles were reversed, if Omark started game one and Swayman started game two, Omark would be in this position, not Swayman.
Probably. Probably. Now, I think it's a little different because I do think the end game in the Bruins' head was Swayman's our guy. Swayman's the young guy. Like, it's kind of like my thing. I want May to start. he has to earn it, but he kind of gets the benefit of the doubt in my mind. I might see things a little differently just because in the end I want him to start. I think they want Swayman to be the number one goalie. I'm with Subban. Like, I'm a big believer you need to have a number one goalie if you want to win in the postseason.
Yeah.
Like, you got to, whether he starts the postseason as the number one or like this, gets a hot hand and then just takes over and runs with the opportunity that is given to him. Now, the flip side is, do you think Ullmark is unexpectedly or whatever upset? Or is it just a natural, yeah, he wants to play. Yeah, he played last year. Like, he thinks he's worthy of being between the pipes, but do you think he personally is, like, sulking or is going to be an issue, or is he suddenly going to go out there and not hug? Like, it's going to be like a wrestling thing where they go to hug and he punches him in the face and he turns on him.
Psych!
Like Marty Jannetty and Shawn Michaels. Like, I don't hear that in his voice. I hear a natural, these are one of those positions, like starting pitcher, quarterback. There's only one of you. I can't rotate you through. Like, there's only one of you that gets to go out there. So you need to swallow your pride right now because it's not you that's going out there.
Yeah, I'm not going to cry. I'm not going to sulk. I'm going to be a good teammate. I don't know. You
well,
tell
said
me.
Try.
Who do you think should start? Do you think – I think Ullmark is just a victim of circumstance. 617-779-7937. I think that the thing that cracks me up is because I've seen this a version of this play out in other sports and in a bunch of different positions. A guy goes in and he just happens – to catch a wide open pass when the defense completely drops the coverage and they screw up, and they go, and the coaching staff goes, "Wow, well, look at that! We gave him an opportunity, and he made the catch and he made a play for us. That's unbelievable. It was really easy. It wasn't really challenging. But suddenly he gets more credit than the other guy.
Was his name Mike Vrabel?
No.
Oh, but just was a personal story.
No. But I have been in similar situations where I have been the beneficiary of, like, a Swayman situation, and I've also been on the other end, like, we're in a situation where Ullmark is in.
And did you hate the other person when you were in that?
I think it was really hard for me not to root for him. It was hard for me to root for him because that is my job. These are my opportunities. These are my memories.
Right.
And then I started hating the coach. You know, you're a liar. You said this was going to happen. You went back on your word.
Yep.
Why would it change now? If you believed in me in game 72, why aren't you believing me now? Aren't you smart enough to see that game 2 was different than game 1 and game 3 was a little bit easier because our entire defense played better?
So if this were college football, would Ullmark be in the transfer portal?
Yes.
I think he would, too.
No, good point.
Because that's what the root of this is, right?
The transfer
portal. Ohio State quarterback this year wanted, like, the guarantee that you'd be the starter. He's like, nope, I'm transferring. Yep. I think Ullmark would be in the transfer portal.
No, it's funny because it's just – and that's the quarterback position.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, listen, so you run a wide-open offense, okay, you're going to have at least 3 guys out there. We're gonna find a way to get you the ball. Like you're gonna end up getting some touches just because the other guys are covered for whatever reason. So just hold tight. Your time will come. I don't feel like it works the same way, obviously, with hockey. Let's go to Jim in North Reading on the goalie situation. What's up, Jim?
So I'm gonna throw a little monkey wrench into this. Swayman's playing great now against Toronto, but what about when we play Florida? Omar's 3-0 this year and has played great against Florida. How do you not give him a chance as well? So you go with the hot hand, but if he falters just a little, Omar's ready to go.
Yeah. No, here's the thing. Here's what I think they're going to do. The Bruins will close it out tonight. Swayman, if he plays good, if he plays bad, doesn't matter. If Montgomery really wants to be a man of his word, then he starts Ullmark game 1 in the next series. That's what he needs to do.
That's
what he needs to do.
Well, you've already anointed Swayman the hot hand, right?
I know, but
last
hot
game
hand,
in this game.
But he also said that he started Swayman. I forgot what his reasonings were. Nick, I don't know if you remember, Billy. Something to do that he didn't start last season or wanted to give him a fresh start or something to that effect.
He hasn't had a chance to start a playoff
series.
That's
what it was. He didn't have a chance to start a playoff series, which I think is a lie anyways. He wanted to start him, but he had to make up some sort of excuse or reason, so he used that one. He really wanted to start Swayman.
No. But now he has gotten away from the alternating. So you've kind of picked a guy. You stopped alternating.
I know, but I think that for this series, again, it's all about, listen, be a man of conviction. Have the courage of your conviction. Like, this is what you're going to do. I'm sorry, Ullmark, but this is what happens.
What if it's schedule related? because they had a game in between game two and or game one and game two. They've had 2 days between game two and game three, and then game three and game four. And now between four and five, you'll have another game or whatever it is. I mean, another day.
You're confusing me.
Same. I was like,
2 days of rest.
How many days?
So days of rest
between the last few games. If they don't win tonight, it's 1 day of rest.
So therefore, 2 days of rest. You go with the guy who played already because he has 2 days of rest.
Swayman's had 2 days to recover already.
But if you play another game, one game of rest, you go to Allmark.
Yes.
Because he's fresh.
Yes.
I'm okay with that. But what if they close out tonight? If they close out tonight, to me that says, Swayman, you picked him as your hot hand. He's now your number one goalie. I mean, you can do what you want, Jim Montgomery. But if you go to Allmark and Allmark loses game one, you are going to be in the center of criticism again.
Yeah.
Because of your, because remember how last year ended? Because everybody believes he mismanaged the goalie situation. You'd be getting a fresh start at mismanaging the goalie situation again.
Okay, so here's Mike in the car. He says it's a mistake to start Swayman tonight. Mike, what's up?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up?
So my thing is this. I think they should have gone with Allmark tonight, and here's the reason why. Andy, you just referenced it, right? Last year they kind of mismanaged, or in a lot of people's opinions, they mismanaged the goalie situation. You know, you had a rotation going all year, and Allmark just looked gassed. And I know he was probably injured and all that other stuff, but by game six, he looked gassed. And then you put Swayman in a must-win game seven, you put him in an absolutely terrible situation. So now let's fast forward to this year. What happens now if Swayman, if they lose tonight, even if Swayman plays well and they lose tonight, do you go to Allmark in game six? Well, the argument there is, well, you don't want it to go seven, and if you have more confidence in Swayman than Allmark, then you're going to start Swayman in game six. So let's say they lose game six, and now it's a game seven. Well, you're not going to repeat that same situation of putting Allmark in a game seven must win. So now you're going to Swayman for five straight games, which he hasn't done all season. So you've been rotating these guys all season, and then you get to the playoffs, and you expect to just keep riding one guy and not have him tire out. That just, to me, doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, no. If thanks, Mike. And if I'm Allmark, I may not tell anybody, but the only way I get back in the mix and get my foot in the door and be a legitimate option is this Swayman struggles, and he's the reason why they lose.
Yeah, but
that's the reality of it, isn't it? Not is it not?
Absolutely.
Yeah. He's
I mean,
suck.
Unless there's scheduling things and goalie Bob and Montgomery talk things out, whatever. Or they say we went with the hot hand, but now we're going back to the rotation. So the next series starts. We're actually rotating game ones, right? Swayman, Allmark. Now start fresh with a rotation. I don't know. I just, to me, it's human nature for Allmark to be disappointed, upset, finding it hard to root. For, like we try to pretend, like he said, trying to try to be a professional. Yeah, you're a human being. We all have feelings. We have insecurities. We have, like, whatever that is. And it's not good. And we know it's not good, but we still feel it, right? Like, you still feel it. Jealousy or, like, that's my spot. It could be a country song. Like, that's my, you know that one about the house, and but that's not my truck in the driveway anymore. It's like somebody else's truck in the
country's
driveway.
Country's the theme today.
That's how Allmark feels. And it's natural. Yeah. I think that's okay as long as you don't do anything detrimental, yeah. Right? And what did he say? He's resigned himself. Did you hear the rest of that where he says, I'm going to do the best I can to prepare this team when I'm off to the side or whatever. Like he's resigned himself to I'm the backup goalie.
I remember playing here when I realized that, okay, the starting position is no longer mine. And I remember being so angry. I remember sitting like in my head, the craziest thoughts were in my head about what I would do to the coaches or what I would do to the building. And by the time I'm not kidding. I was angry. I was so vindictive. And by the time I went out to the field, I was like, well, I like Dan Graham a lot. Like, we became friends, and I was like, I guess it's time. Like, honest to God, I was like, I guess this is how it flips, you know? And I was comfortable with it. But I tell you what, if I didn't like Dan Graham, I would have been rooting for him to fail every single time. So I wanted my job back.
But then there's also what we talked about earlier. Allmark wanted to be here. And I'm guessing part of why you wanted to be here is you like the team, you like the teammates, you like the environment. You wanted to go on a cup run. You wanted to prove last year was just an aberration, right, that you guys got bounced. Well, you're here. Aren't you rooting for victory?
Yeah.
Don't you want to win? Don't you want to go from series to series?
It depends on your makeup.
So you,
depends on your makeup.
And deep down in honest places you don't talk about at parties, Allmark is rooting for the Bruins to lose tonight so he can play?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not great.
Do you agree with me?
Kinda.
Yeah. You want to, it doesn't mean you want to lose the series. You just want to put your foot back in the door. Okay, so I promised you this. Okay, this is the wildest story you will ever hear from a former professional athlete. The wildest story. I heard it, listened to it twice. I can't even believe it. That's the lighter side of sports, and we'll do that next.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Time now for The Lighter Side of Sports, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss on Gresh and Fourier.
All right, I promise this won't disappoint. All right, so you know who John Kruk is?
Yes.
Okay, former Major League Baseball player, all around great guy, funny, loves telling stories. I guess everybody kind of knows about his career, three All-Star appearances, seventh place finish in the National League's Rookie of the Year voting. But here's what most people probably would not know, and I sure as hell have never heard of this. You go to his Wikipedia page, you scroll down, you'll find a record of his season spent with, bear with me on this one, the Aguilas de Mexicali baseball team. In 1986, the former ESPN commentator helped the Aguilas win their lone Caribbean Series title. Okay. So John Crux was doing a game for the Phillies on Saturday. So Saturday's Phillies at San Diego. So the Phillies won 5-1. And he starts telling a story about his experience playing for that team. It's a two-parter because it's a little long, so we're going to stop and start it. But here's how it starts.
Did I ever tell you about playing the prison team and when I was playing a winter ball?
In Mexico?
We had exhibition game every year against a prison team at the prison.
Yeah.
Well, they let me lead off just to get me out of the way, you know.
Swing and a miss.
You know, spring training, let a guy lead off just so he can get another at bat or whatever. It's a strikeout for Kyle. But so I go up there to bat. The catcher don't have any catcher's gear on. And I said, he spoke English, too. I said,
okay, hold on. Stop it just for a second. I should have stopped it right after prison.
Yeah.
So winter ball, every year they play an exhibition game. This is like the longest yard. This is Burt Reynolds, and this is the longest yard. We're gonna take a bunch of convicts, a bunch of prisoners, and we're going to let them play against these prospects just who have to play. Like, I have no idea where this Mexican league team is, but holy crap. You're going to play against a bunch of prisoners in Mexico?
In Mexico. I'm glad you added it with that tone. In Mexico.
All prisons are bad, but I have this weird assumption that the ones in Mexico are worse.
Yeah, they tell you right now, don't travel to Mexico.
Yeah, no,
you go
don't
to a Mexican
go to Cabo.
Prison.
Yeah, you're going to go to a Mexican prison?
Play
in
a little ball.
In the 80s?
A little ball.
There's like Pablo Escobar running around there. So that's the first time where I'm like, holy crap, can you imagine? These are the dudes I have to pay in order to play Major League Baseball. Fine. I'm desperate. I want it badly. Then, sure enough, they let him lead off. He looks down, and the guy is like, has no gear on. No shin guards, no face mask, no, of course, no cup, no chest protector.
Strum
nothing.
Like bull.
Can you imagine the things that would happen?
No, because I wouldn't go.
In that situation.
I would have called in sick like Big Andy. I'm like, yeah, not playing.
All right, let's keep it going.
You don't have no gear? He goes, no. No mask, no nothing. I'm like, well, I'm not going to hit with this dude. Ain't got no catcher's gear on. Right? So we get an extra pair of our catcher had an extra set of gear, so he let him use it. So then I'm asking.
Did he keep it?
No.
Oh.
But I asked him, I said, lefty pitch, it threw like hard. That's what reminded me of it. Kid threw hard, this pitcher. So I asked the catcher, I said, what did he do? He's out, he found his girlfriend cheating. He burned up her car with her and her boyfriend.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, oh, my gosh.
So you then just did 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out.
Yeah.
There's a line drive to left field by Turner. And that's going to go all the way to the wall, and Turner is going to glide to second base. He's got his...
Very uncomfortable at bat.
You're at bat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would think so. There's probably a lot of things that were running through your head.
Yeah, like, get me the heck out of here. But then we went in there and ate with them afterwards in the prison in the thing, right? And they said, when you walk in, make sure you keep your hat, your hand on your hat. I'm like, I don't know. I don't get it, you know. Man, I walked in. I thought they were going to take patches of hair. They were trying to rip my hat off, these prisoners.
Because like, they wanted the hat or your hair?
No, well, the hat. And I told our manager, I said, we can't do this anymore. I mean, you know, I love a good competitive game, but this is like survival, man.
Johnny Cash did. He went to the prison.
Yeah, he also had a boy named Sue.
Okay, so Johnny Cash. It is amazing to me.
It's chunk rock.
Do you remember? Like Glenn Ordway reminded me of this, that there used to be a time in the NFL where college all-stars, before their season started, played against a pro team.
Yeah. I mean, I don't remember it, but I've read about it.
No, I remember seeing a video of it, and I was like, there's not a chance in hell a bunch of, you know, seniors in college would get to play against pro football players. But it wasn't like this 1960s. Like, this went on in like the 70s and early 80s. I think that's amazing. I mean, no, it's not the longest yard. It's not Mean Machine, our own version of, like, you know, Folsom Prison, like Johnny Cash up there. So you play baseball with, you find out this guy's murdered his girlfriend with her in it, lights it on fire. Then they say, hey, come eat with us. And oh, by the way, hold on to your hat because they're going to steal it and they're going to take it off your head. So what do? Like, you fight back for it?
Nope.
No, keep it. You know
what? That's yours.
It looks better on you.
Yep.
That is a wild story.
Let's get the hell out of here. But the first thing that came to mind, so John Kruk famously had the at-bat in the All-Star game where Randy Johnson buzzed his tower, and he wanted out of there immediately. He, 3 strikes, I'm out. He turned the helmet backwards, yeah. That whole thing.
Oh, the bat backwards, too.
When were you more fearful with your life? Was it when Randy Johnson was buzzing your tower at 99, or the guy right next to you had murdered a couple people? Because this had a flashback for me. It was a combination of The Longest Yard and Shawshank. When it's
that guy found his wife cheating on him, murdered both of them or something. Like,
lawyer F'd me.
Yeah, we're all innocent in here. Yeah. Me too. But this is an amazing, and you're right, it's generational. I can't imagine they still do this.
He's playing in, you know, like Lou was telling stories, you know, years ago about playing in Venezuela and these other like third world countries and how like security was so important and it was so dangerous to play in these different towns. And I was like, man, I guess if you want to play winter ball and you want to make it, like, you're literally going to play in Mexico.
If your team tells you to go somewhere and you're trying to get to the next rung of the ladder.
Oh, by the way, we have an exhibition game. It's not like you're not playing against Northeastern, BU, some like, you know, entitled kid who just wants to, you know, play baseball. Yeah.
Random shot at a kid.
Yeah. It's more at Northeastern than the kids that go to Northeastern. That's more of my dig at Northeastern. Well, that's the lightest side of sport. I thought that was a crazy story. I thought that was nuts. So a couple things I want to do. I'm going to get back into some of these calls about the Bruins and the goalie rotation. We'll do that. Quick mention about the Celtics. And you gotta help me dissect this chart that I heard Bill Polian talking about. And it'll probably give you a good guide or whether or not these rookies that the Patriots just drafted will play or produce or contribute at all this year. We'll do all that next and take your phone calls at 617-779-7937. First, let's take a break.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.